verses 35 to 43. And the navy blue Bibles can be found on page 1642. So Luke 23, 35 to 43. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Very good morning to everyone. Great to be back with you. I'm new to this microphone. It's working all right? Very good. In case you don't know me, my name is Brett, and I have the good pleasure of being your interim moderator, and it's a delight to be with you this morning. Easter is a great time of the year, isn't it? But as we celebrate Good Friday, we have those two mixed emotions. We're joyful because we recognize that this is the day that our God sent his Son into the world and he died for us on the cross. But we're sad in the sense that we recognize why he had to die. He died because of our sins. So as we come to remember that, we'll keep those two emotions together. We're going to be looking at the passage that Andrew just read for us. Now, there are only nine short verses, but we'll work our way through them and we'll look at them together. So if you've got your phones on or your Bibles open, that would be great. But before we come to look through the verses, let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you did to us, did for us on this day. You redeemed us. You rescued us. You saved us from the punishment that we deserved because your Son, our Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, died in our place. Lord, as we come to honour him today and give thanks for what he's done for us, may we be reminded from Luke chapter 23, may you teach us, may you guide us from it. Be with me as I speak, Lord. Help me to be both clear and faithful. We ask this in and through your Son's name. Amen. Well, my wife and family and I live down in Croydon, and I drove up this morning and I drove past where I used to live. You see, this used to be my neck of the woods. I used to live over in Rickard Street. For those of you who don't know where Rickard Street is, it runs off North Road. So if you go to the five ways and you go the second right, that's North Road. And then before the old RTA, Rickard Street is off there to the right. So used to be a cafe in Isaac Road. Used to be my morning coffee when I walked my dogs. Anyway, we used to live in this old fibro house in Rickard Street. Now, it was on a slope, and we were on the sort of the lower side of the slope, and so the front of our house was higher than the back of our house. Now, it's an old fibro house, so they built it with a laundry out the back, which a previous owner had converted to a bathroom. Now, this bathroom was very odd. We never used it. It was odd because you had to walk down six steps at the back of the house. Then you had to turn around and walk back up two steps. Now, I thought that was really odd. So I thought the best thing to do would be to build a deck at the level of the laundry. So that way you'd only have to come down four stairs and then you could just, on that same level, turn and walk into the bathroom. It was a genius plan. Now, my dad is a builder, or was a builder, And my first job in my school holidays was working for him. So I've got some idea about how to hold a hammer. I've got a reasonable idea about carpentry, but I've never actually built a deck before. So I had to do my research. Now, I found out on Mr. Google, I found out the most important thing about a deck is the foundation. Now, you can have all those fancy finishes. You can have a nice Jarrah top or a maple top, or you can have a black wood or one of those new fancy bamboo concoction things that they do. You can have whatever type of timber on the top. But the important thing is having the foundations firm underneath your deck. You need to have at least solidly fixed to the ground, and you need to have the right supports and the runners in order to support the top part of the deck. It's important to have your foundation right when you're building a deck. Well, likewise in life, it's very important, it's crucial to have your foundations right as well. And that foundation is understanding who it is on the cross and why he's on the cross. And so it's great this morning as we come for Good Friday, we remind ourselves of that firm foundation. Now we're going to be looking at those nine verses sort of in two parts. We'll go through the verses, but I'll bring out two points. Now the first point I want to draw out as we go through is who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, the Messiah, with authority to forgive sins. And then I want to bring out the idea that he is the righteous one, the innocent one who's dying in our place. Now, in the context of Luke's gospel, we've known from Luke chapter 9 that Jesus was going to the cross. Jesus had told his disciples after they asked him, who do they say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. That we've known that since chapter 9. Then Jesus started telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over by the scribes and the teachers of the law, and I'll be crucified there. On the third day, I'll rise again. And Jesus kept telling his disciples. So when we finally get to the cross, it's something that we're expecting. But we also know that the cross is part of the plan of God. It's what God wanted to happen. But at the same time, we see that the way God brought about his plan was from the sinfulness of people. So it was Judas who betrayed him. It was the scribes who had him arrested and handed him over to Pontius Pilate. It was Peter who betrayed him. It's because of sinful people Jesus was crucified. And we see that here in this passage as well. You see, the great truths that are coming out are from sinful people, the opponents of Jesus. And we see that in verse 35, that the ones who mock Jesus actually tell us the great truth. They say, you've saved others, save yourself if you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Again, the soldiers also sneer at him and say, save yourself if you are the King of the Jews. And then one of the criminals on the cross also says so. Says that, you know, save yourself if you are the King. And then the announcement that's put up above Jesus says, this is the King of the Jews. Luke is reminding us here that Jesus is the King. He is the Messiah. He does have the authority. And so when the second criminal asks Jesus, can I come into your kingdom? Jesus has the authority to say, yes, today you will be with me in paradise. When I was growing up, we used to go for holidays up at Foster at a caravan park called Elam. Now, Elam is a great little place, but what they had different, one of the things that surprised me about Elam is they had this laundry which was coin operated. Now, I'm a boy, and I'm used to just when I was a kid, I used to just throw my clothes on the ground and they would magically reappear in my drawer a couple of days later. Now that I'm an adult, I've since worked out that they don't just magically appear. Some lovely person picked them up, sorted them darks and lights and put them in the washing machine. So I know how washing works now. But when I was a kid, I didn't understand all things, and it was very surprising that you had to put coins in to make it work. Now, I remember one particular day the coin-operated part stopped working. Now, the caretaker, we told the caretaker, and the caretaker came down with his key, and he switched a setting with the key such that you didn't have to use coins anymore. And I thought, that's wonderful, now that we can wash our clothes for free. Now, I was just at the caravan park. I had no right to turn off the coin-operating thing. But because he was the caretaker, he had the right to say, okay, today you can wash your clothes for free. Well, same thing happens here in Luke's gospel. Because of who Jesus is, because he's God in the flesh, because he is the Messiah, the Son of God, because he is the King of Israel and the King of the world, he has that authority to say your sins are forgiven. And they are forgiven. Because Christ says that it is enough, and what I've done for you brings you forgiveness. Because he is the Son of God, he has the authority to do that. And so our forgiveness is not at all based on our merits or our works, but because Christ has the authority to forgive. Now, Luke also brings out the innocence of Jesus. So the second criminal rebukes the first criminal, saying that we're suffering because we deserve to be killed. But surely this person is righteous. He's done nothing wrong. Later on in the following verses, then centurion says, surely this man is righteous. He doesn't deserve to die. Now, it's great to be here for Good Friday, and we also celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. At Mossman, we're also having a service tomorrow, and we decided to keep having our service then because it's an outreach service. Now, after the service tomorrow evening, we're watching a film. It's one of the modern-day classics. It's called The Emoji Film. Now, I don't know whether you've seen The Emoji Film, or The Emoji Movie, I think they call it. I haven't seen it, so it's going to be a bit of a surprise to me. I don't get out much these days, and I think the last time I went to the movies was to see Beauty and the Beast, the modern adaptation of it. Now, there's a famous person in that. I just know her as Hermione from Harry Potter, but I went to see it about a year ago. Now, I'm used to watching the animated one with Angela Lansbury as Mrs. Potts. Anyway, you've probably seen one of those two movies. So anyway, in Beauty and the Beast, as you know, the Beast has to convince Beauty to love him. The Beast has to change his character so that the Beauty falls in love with her. Now, that's a classic love story, and it's often the default how we see ourselves as well. We think if only we change, God would love us. If only we came to church more, God would be happier with us. But no, the scriptures teach us, and Luke 23 reminds us, that our righteousness is not based on our changes, but because Christ is righteous. As Mike reminded us earlier about that song, because the sinless Saviour died. Because Christ is sinless, he took the penalty for our sins, not his sins. And his righteousness is given to us. Last week in Mossman, we sang the song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and I think we're doing a reversion of that a little bit later on. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour content on all my pride. You see, the cross reminds us that our salvation, our eternity, is not based on us. It's not based on our goodness. It's not based on how many times we come to church over Easter. It's not based on how much money we put on the offering plate later. The gospel, the cross, reminds us that our salvation is nothing to do with us, but on what Christ has done for us. And all we do is accept that humbly and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying in our place. In the context of Luke's gospel, Jesus will encourage us in this way that we ought to, understanding the cross, we ought to take up our cross following him. Our response to the cross is to humbly say, thank you, Jesus, and then to change our lives in response to that, to seek to imitate our Lord, to seek to serve one another, to give our lives sacrificially so that God might be praised when others might see our good works and praise our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you for this day. We thank you that on this day our Lord died in our place. We thank you that because he was sinless, his death took the penalty for our sins. We thank you that because he is the Son of God, he is the authority to say we are forgiven and we are forgiven. We thank you that everything we have is because of what Christ did for us this day. Every blessing we enjoy, every richness that we have, is not at all because of our works, but because of the perfect forgiveness, the peace we have, because our Lord died in our place. Help us, Lord, to remember that this day. Help us to recognize and humbly say, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And help us, Lord, today and tomorrow and every day, to humbly say thank you to you through lives in imitation of our Lord. Help us to take up our crosses and to serve others as Christ has served us. We pray this in your Son's name.